To us today. Amen. How many know the Lord is just so faithful? Amen. You know, the Bible says his mercies are renewed every morning. Amen. He loves you today, and I'm thankful for that mercy being renewed today every morning. Amen. Why don't you stand this morning, and I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Proverbs 4:23. Proverbs 4:23. Amen. And we've been talking about the orphan's heart, and God is the healer of the orphan's heart. Amen. You might be here this morning, and you might have been in a situation in life that has developed that has caused an orphan's heart to come up within you. Well, God wants you not to have an orphan's heart, but a son and daughter's heart. He desires that your heart is his heart today. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about this morning, and we're going to talk about the healing of the orphan heart today. And I just pray this ministers to you, because so many in society are struggling because they really don't have an identity of who God is, and his love for them, his unconditional love for them, and his grace, his mercy. Amen. They have a concept of a ruthless, mean God out to get them. The God that caused everything in their life bad, that's who they have a concept of God. And God is totally opposite in every one of those things. Amen. And so God wants us to have a heart of a son, a heart of a daughter this morning, that we can raise up, amen, and live this life victorious. Amen. Such a good concept of God. Amen. So let's look at the verse this morning. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs what? The issues of life. I want you to turn around to five people and say, I no longer have issues. Do you? Whoa. Okay. So don't lie to them, right? Remember where you are, right? Amen. All right. Hold up your Bible this morning. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess, my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Give somebody a high five and say, you're loved. Praise God. Amen. You're loved this morning. Hallelujah. Some of you are still just thinking about that, aren't you? Amen. So God desires people to walk in Zoe life. What is Zoe life? Zoe life is God life. Amen? God life. Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to what? Give you what? And how does God want to give you life? You know, partial life, barely life, struggling life. You know, some people are living in the land of, you know, lack. Some people are living in the land of just enough. But God desires you to live in the land of more than enough. More than enough. He said, I've come to give you life and to give it to you extravagantly, abundantly. Amen. God wants you to have an abundant life. He wants you to live and walk in his peace. He wants you to reign in life, the Bible says. God desires you reigning in life. Amen. Not draining. Reigning. God wants you to reign, not drain. Amen. As a son and daughter today, you are to be reigning in life, not to just, everything is just a drudge. God didn't want, he wants you out of the drudge, man. Amen. He wants you understanding all that he has for you. You know, so much of our concept of God is how we were raised, our background, and so many things come into play in that area. You know, our parenting, our parents themselves, their parenting skills, their background, all of this comes into play. Some of us had some bad parents. Some of you won't admit it, but some of you had some bad parents, you know. And my parents did not have and did not know and were not trained in real good parenting. So, you know, when I was a kid, I didn't know where I was going to be. We went from post to pillar, and it was like, whoa, man. You know, I just, it's kind of like joining the ministry. You travel all around, never know where you're going to be next. So, but we did that in ministry with our children, but we really tried to understand and give them that stability of our love. And it's so vitally important. You know, a great example, I think, of being raised in a home that is just has a great concept of God and just has a great understanding of God is my son-in-law, Andrew. You know, his understanding and concept and his parents being Christians and having such a great revelation of God is that, you know, I just got to brag on Andrew a second. He is one of the finest young men I've ever met. And he has probably one of the best attitudes I've ever seen in a young guy. I am so thankful he's my son-in-law today. And I've got two other ones that are just about like him. Amen. And they weren't all white. My oldest daughter, he wasn't raised in a particular home like Andrew, but he's a great son. Elisa's husband, a great son. His parents are believers and raised him and instilled it. And in fact, it's so funny that Kay and Elise would marry two guys that are just about alike. It's kind of like mind-boggling. But I'm so thankful because they have the full understanding of sonship that was carried from their parents and instilled in them. So if you're a parent today, I want to encourage you to raise your children in God's grace and God's unconditional love and to pour into them a stability and a strength that you don't serve a yo-yo God, but you serve a God that is constantly always the same and his love towards you, no matter what you do, where you go, God's love towards you is absolutely the same. Now I'm preaching better than you're amening right now. Amen. It is the same. And when you understand that and you pour that into your kids, you're never going to have to be concerned about who they're going to marry, where they're going to go, what they're going to do, where they're going to end up at. Amen. They're going to be successful. Amen. Because they've had an understanding of God's love poured in them through you. Wow. Good preaching. Hallelujah. Let me turn my notes back on. God is faithful. God is just good. Amen. So God desires us to have this God concept of his heart, who he is, how he relates to us. Amen. The heart determines the actions of life. That's what the scripture says in Proverbs 4:23. Out of the heart flow the actions of life. So he says to guard our hearts above all things. If your heart isn't healed or right, then you'll face issues in relationships and challenges in life with others. So God wants you to have a total healed heart. Amen? So how do things get into our heart? As most of us know, we are made up of what? We are a three-part being. We are spirit. Our spirit is that part of us that receives Christ, that is born again, that is changed forever, that is perfect. So one-third of you is perfect. Amen. If you're a believer today, one-third of you is perfect. Amen. In your spirit, you are perfect. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Somebody gets it. In your spirit, you are perfect. Praise God. Turn to somebody and say, you're sitting next to one-third of a perfect person. Amen. Praise God. You are. That's who you are. That's why the Bible says, just as Jesus is, so are you where? In this world. Amen. Now you have your soul. Now that's something else. That's where a lot of people just, you know, they don't understand spirit, soul, and so they really get confused because a lot of people think we're just two parts, but you have a spirit that's perfect, sanctified, sealed forever in Jesus Christ. You have a soul that can fluctuate. You have a soul filled with feelings and emotions and all these things going on within your soul realm. You know, it's our mind, it's our will, it's our emotions, it's our feelings. And so what happens is when things begin to enter through our eyes, through our ears, what we think on, all of these things, it goes into our heart, many of them. And when it goes into our heart, it becomes to who we are and expresses out in action. That's why it says to guard your heart. And then you have a body just kind of neutral and goes along with, you know, whatever. So, right? So you have this soul realm, and when things come to you through your thinking, through teaching, sometimes through wrong teaching that we hear, and it gets into our think and our thought life, and then we allow it to enter our heart, and then it produces actions, which produces issues. Right? So it's so important that we guard our heart. How do you guard your heart? You guard your heart by guarding your mind. You guard your heart by guarding your mind. Hello? The heart is the ultimate decision maker, and the reason so many people are seemingly dysfunctional is they have an orphan's heart. They have a heart that they think is defeated and separated and beat down, and they don't have a clear understanding of how much they are extremely loved. Wow. Praise God. Once a heart's been rejected, abandoned, wounded, and not healed, the issues of life flow out of that person, the actions flow out of that person, and it's detrimental to them instead of really giving life to them. Some people have gone through a divorce and it's been detrimental to their heart. They've been rejected. They've been hurt. Some churches, some religion has rejected and hurt people in their heart. They've not been received into a lot of churches and a lot of congregations simply because of their divorce issues and things going on in their life. You know, God loves divorced people. Life's not over. Amen. God cares for you. God loves you. He wants to heal your heart. He doesn't want you out there be floating around somewhere looking for love in all the wrong places. God's got healing for your heart. He wants to restore what the cankerworm has eaten. Amen. He is the God of restoration and life. Pow. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, no second-class citizens around here. So people have been rejected. They've been taught a wrong understanding of who God is, His tremendous grace, His love. So they allow things to enter into that heart. And the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As you think in your heart, that's what you become. If it's not rooted in your heart, then you won't become that. But when you think in your heart, that's what you become. So it's so important what you think, what you allow yourself to dwell on. Some of us need to get some new thinking going on. We need to reject some stinking thinking. Don't let it, look at 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. Because once it gets into our heart, it forms life actions. So we don't want it to get into our heart. Doesn't matter what somebody said to you years ago, God's got healing for your heart. Get over it. Amen. Realize God's forgiveness in your life, then you can forgive others, even as Christ has for your sake forgiven you, for His sake forgiven you. He is the forgiver. He is the healer. Amen. Praise God. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the life of this flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not what? Fleshly, carnal, but what? Mighty where? In God. For pulling down strongholds. Strongholds are a pattern of thinking that have developed over time, and we've allowed it to begin to be in our mind, and when it becomes a stronghold, it gets into your heart and then produces actions. Now, those actions can be good or bad, but a lot of times they are not good. Right? Casting down arguments and everything that exalts itself against what? The knowledge or the word of God. So he says, don't allow this to take place. Don't allow thoughts that are contrary to God's word to come into your life. Now, if you don't know God's word, you can't help yourself. And you'll just think anything. You just allow the world to tell you anything. And then you start believing what they're telling you. Oh, you can't succeed in life. You start believing that and you won't. You'll never amount to anything. You start believing that and you won't. Hello? You're always going to be this way. You start believing that and you will. Why? Because it gets into your heart. And then actions take place out of your heart. God doesn't want those actions taking place that are against His word. His word should be superior in your thought life. And when a thought comes in, you just reject it. When you're getting up in the morning and say, well, it's a terrible day, it's going to be a bad day, and that thought comes into your mind, you immediately reject it and say, no, it's going to be a good day, because this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. When you get a pain in your body somewhere and the thought comes in, oh, it's cancer, or it's the big one, Elizabeth, you know, it, whatever it might be, you reject it and say, no, by his stripes, I am healed. Amen. So you don't allow those thoughts to get down into your heart, which produces action out of your life and issues that you face. You take your authority over those things. I can't get ahead of myself because I know where I'm going and I want to get there so bad, but I just can't yet. So hold on, man. Hallelujah. You don't allow those things to influence your life. And you know what? We are bombarded all the time with thoughts. Bombarded. You know, you're sitting here, you had thoughts already this morning. You have thoughts about this week. You have thoughts about next year. Next year you haven't even here. That's why Jesus said, take no thought by saying. And then we start saying it, and it really begins to develop into our heart and becomes who we are. Turn to somebody and say, are you getting this morning? So we place God's thought with God's word. When someone does you wrong or talks about you, immediately you choose to forgive them. Immediately. Why? Because that's what God's word tells us. When someone doesn't acknowledge you, it's okay. God acknowledges you. You got to have understanding of who God is. His extreme love for you this morning. Amen. When someone cuts you off in traffic, you give them the sign of the cross instead of the other sign. Why? Because you know who you are in Jesus. When somebody grabs your place at Walmart and you're pulling up and they pull right in front of you and you get all frustrated, man, no, no, no. You just drive down a little bit further, find another parking place, and you think, you know what, this is good because I really need the exercise. Oh, you are hearing what I'm saying. It's how we perceive things in life. It's so amazing how we perceive stuff and how self-centered and self-absorbed we are. Selfishness is the fish that stinks. I'm just telling you right now. I'm just telling you right now. So, all right. Y'all still with me this morning? Believe the best in people. Believe the best in people. Let me say it again. Believe the best in people. Turn me up a little bit, brother. Believe the best in people. Believe the best in, thank you, believe the best in people. Choose to take the high road of grace. Choose to take, you know, it's interesting. Remember in the Bible when Jesus talked about, you know, the Pharisees talking about just going 1 mile, carry your burden 1 mile, and Jesus said, no, no, the extra. Grace is always the extra mile. Hello? Y'all with me this morning? Praise God. Look at Luke 15. Luke 15. You know this story. Many of you are so familiar with the story. But I'm going to talk about you can have an orphan's heart and be in church. In fact, you can be a Christian and still have a mentality of an orphan's heart. Y'all hearing me this morning? Luke 15:7. I want to talk to you about restoring the orphan's heart, restoring the heart of God and releasing the orphan's heart. That's what I want to share with you really this morning. So many believers live way below their means because of the lack of understanding and revelation of God's grace and God's goodness and God's unconditional love. So God has provided everything they need. According to the Bible, God has provided everything we need that pertains to life and godliness. It's already done. It's a finished work. But people have been taught that God is stingy, that God is greedy, that God is a mean taskmaster, that God is judgmental. And so all these things have taken place. So listen to this. Let's look at Luke 15, verse 7. Let's back up. Back up. Amen. Is that where I went? Are you in 17? All right. No, it's not where I want to go. Hang on a second. Praise God. I'll find it. Y'all still with me? All right. Good. Praise God. Start in verse 14. There we go. Are you there? Verse 14, Luke 15, 14. Here we go. 14, there you go. Back up. One more, you're doing good. Back up. There you go. That's where I want to go. Y'all still with me? Grace. Grace. Then he said, a certain man had what? Two sons. Certain man had two sons. Now listen to this story. So interesting. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. Give me the portion of good that falls to me. What he was basically saying, in other words, to inherit something, you have to wait usually until that person what? Dies. You know what he was saying to his father? I wish you were dead. He was saying to his dad in this incident, I really wish you were dead. That was what is being conveyed to his father. So what did his father do? Did his father hold back? Did his father withheld from him? No, what did he do? So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. Now, I thought this was interesting. He said, and not many days after. So here he's telling his dad, I wish you were really dead, and he hung around. Can you imagine how his father was feeling at this point? Wow. So he's hanging around. He said, all together, and he journeyed to a far country, and they're what? Wasted. Wow. So there he was, and his father gave to him, amen, and he said, he journeyed into this far country, took what he had, and notice something. He said this, and wasted his possession with prodigal living. Next verse. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in what? Wow. What was so interesting to me about this, when he asked his father, said, Dad, I want what's coming to me. His father gave what was coming to him. Not only did he give it to him, but he allowed him to stay in the house many days. And it wasn't the father that kicked him out of the house. Hello? It was the son wanting to leave on his own accord. So here he basically said, Dad, I wish you were dead. Hung out many days. Most fathers would have said, son, get out. Right? No. This is the love of the Father that he has for us. Amen. He didn't tell him to get out. He staying around. He hung out. And then he left on his own accord. Then he went out and he spent all that he had. And it began to be a famine in the land. The Bible says it was riotous living. And there began to be a famine in the land. So he tried to get as far away from his father as he could, journeying to a far country. An orphan's mentality will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. Old cliche from years ago, right? But it's still true today. That's what will happen. So that's what takes place in a prodigal's heart. So when you, and then the Bible says, he began, let's go on down. So he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to do what? To feed swine. Now, as a Jewish lad, that's as low as you can get. You know what? That's why I can never be Jewish, because I love pork chops and barbecue too much. Amen. I mean, I'm just telling you. Praise God. So he began to be in want. Next verse. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. And he had a revelation, but when he came to himself. You know when people change? For the most part, people change when they hurt enough that they have to. Or, here's what I really hope when people change, when they learn enough that they know to. It's either when you hurt enough that you have to, or when you learn enough that you know to. That's my prayer for people, that they learn enough, that they have enough of revelation knowledge of God's grace, that change just takes place automatically. It's not a stressful thing. It's not a hard thing. Their heart is just changed automatically because they're just so immersed with God's love and grace. Man, they learn that, and all of a sudden, change is not like, it's really hard to do. No, you just walk it out. Amen. It's like, whoa, you look back and say, there's where I was, but here where I am today. I am so new. Amen. Why? Because of Jesus. Wow. His mentality. So look at this mentality. This is what happens when you have a prodigal thought and a prodigal spirit. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise, go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. He wanted to have a mindset change. Repenting is just changing your mind, folks. And I am no longer worthy to be called your, make me what? That's where the church is today. The church is in the servant mode instead of the son mode. God doesn't want you in the servant mode. He wants you in the son mode. Amen. You are sons and daughters of the Most High because of Jesus Christ and what he's done. Hallelujah. Amen. Give God some praise. Amen. He is that good of a God. That's his relationship. That is a restorative relationship. But you know what? So many people and so many churches around this country today, everywhere, it's a servant mentality. Man. Instead of a relationship of obedience through God's love for us. Turn someone along and say, you are no longer a slave. Get out of that mentality. Amen. Man, can I go a little further here this morning? Can you guys give me about 10 more minutes today? Can you do that? Okay, I'm going to try to hurry this. I don't know if I can, but I've got some great revelation I want to share on the restoration and the breaking of an orphan's heart and a restoration to son. Can you give me 10 minutes this morning? I want you to show this. It's going down. So, and he arose, and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him. He was looking for him. What a marvelous picture of God's unconditional love. I mean, if you want to think about something and dwell on something, look at that this morning. He was looking for him. Hallelujah. He was searching for him. His heart was longing to restore that relationship. God doesn't care where you've been, what you've done, what you're up to. God says, I just want to restore you. Amen. I want to bring you back as a son and a daughter. Hallelujah. He wants to restore you. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to just have a relationship and hang out with you and say, woo, this is good, man. Hallelujah. Praise God. Wow. His father saw him and had what? And ran and fell on his neck and stabbed him in the back. What did he do? Ran, fell on his neck, and what? In Eastern culture, a kiss is given. Men kiss men on the cheek. Do you realize that? You know, our president is over in that Eastern culture right now. And if a man gives another man a kiss on the cheek, it is the highest esteem of friendship. That's what that means. It's a close bond of friendship. God said, son, I'm your friend. When he kissed him on the cheek, he was saying, son, I'm your friend. You know, people don't know God as a friend, but he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. I've got some brothers. I love them. You know what? I'd lay down my life for them. Amen. They are some of the best there is. You know, I mean, they've got flaws. They got stuff going on. They do all kinds of crazy things. I got some crazy brothers. I got two of them. Two older brothers. Sometimes they are crazy. You know what? I love them. And if somebody, you know, came up to them and wanted to harm them some way, gotcha. Pastor jumps out, man. Amen. I mean, don't mess with my bros, man. Amen. It's like some of you guys here, man. All you guys here. I'd dot the I and sting the B, bro. Amen. Hallelujah. But a kiss, man. He said, you're my friend. Was it Israel? Said, I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Y'all still with me this morning? Going down a little bit because I got a little bit more I want to show you. So, hallelujah. Look at this. On down. Oh, back up. I'm sorry. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe. Robe was a restoring of royalty. The Bible says you are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. Hallelujah. That's who you are. He brought out the robe, and you have been clothed with the robe of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. You have the robe of righteousness. What does that mean? You can walk into the Father's presence any time. Amen. The Bible says, come boldly to his throne of grace. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad it's the throne of grace and not the throne of judgment? Amen. You can come boldly now because you've been cleansed and you have the robe of righteousness, which says you've been restored to full sonship and daughtership. Praise God. But the going back on back up, not there. Go there, 1 Corinthians. Or I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be what? Sin for us that we might become what? The righteousness of God. Turn to somebody and say, right on, I'm righteous. Amen, amen. Now go back, brother. You're doing a great job. Praise God. Hallelujah. Look at this. This is awesome. Look at this. For he made him one of the servants who knew no sin, but the father said to his servant, bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring. What was a ring? Authority. Look at Genesis 41:42. It represented authority. As a son, a daughter, you have authority over the enemy. Amen. You have authority. Genesis 41. Amen. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and he clothed him with what? Garments of fine linen, the robe, and put a gold chain around his neck. He was the first rapper. Joseph, baby, can you say, y'all didn't get that. Come on, somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. What was he doing? What did he do? He gave Joseph authority over all of Egypt. With that ring and with that robe, amen, he gave him authority over all of Egypt. Amen. Said, Joseph, it's in your hand, buddy. Folks, authority is in your hand. In fact, God said, command ye my hands. We waste a lot of time praying for people when we should be releasing authority over people. You've got authority to heal the sick. You've got authority to raise the dead. You've got authority to cast out demons. You have authority to live in this life successful, full, and whole. Woo! Remember Esther in the Bible? Remember Mordecai and Esther? And you know, the king was getting ready because Haman was going to destroy all the Jews, and they got Esther and gave her a full year of beauty treatments, and she looked good, amen, and she came in for the king, and he said, woo, she looked good, amen. Full year of beauty treatments, man, anybody going to look good, right, amen. So special diet, all that stuff, you know, and, you know, Haman had a thing. He wanted to destroy and kill all the Jews, and, you know, she went before him. In fact, he made gallows and going to hang Mordecai and ended up, you know, he got hanged. Remember the story? Look at Esther 8:2. Ruth. Yeah. Find it? Praise the Lord. Let me find it. I want to show you this. Anybody find it yet? Isn't it? That's what I thought. There you go, brother. So the king took off his signet ring, the ring of authority, right? Which he had taken from Haman and gave it to, this is a, you guys don't know this, but this is a picture of Jesus, the king, taking off the ring of Haman and giving it to us. Haman, the word Haman in Hebrew meant evil one. God stripped the enemy. Jesus stripped the enemy of everything he has against us. And he took that authority that he was trying to get and he gave it back to us through Jesus Christ. And he redeemed us because now we walk in that authority as sons and daughters of God. That is an amazing thing, guys. God has given that to you and for you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Luke 10:19. Hopefully I got this one right. I had that one right. Amen. Praise God. All right, Luke 10:19. Praise the Lord. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over some of the power of the enemy. Over a partial, all the power, and nothing shall by any means, turn somebody and say, that verse for you. Go back over to Luke. Let's go back, got just a couple more things. Amen, I want to show you real quick. Wow, a couple more things real quick. Back over to Luke, brother, 15, amen. And bring, and back up. Put out the ring on his hand and only slaves were barefoot. If you belong to a royal family, you always had sandals on for stability and so you wouldn't stub your toe. Amen? You wouldn't get a thorn in the flesh. Praise God. God has given you the stability in life and put shoes on your feet. Amen? Praise God. You've been shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's who you are in Jesus today as a son and daughter. Man, I'm trying to get through this. All right, now let's go on down. All right, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it and let us eat and be merry. It didn't just say calf. It says fatted calf. In Eastern tradition, the fatted calf represents good health and well-being. There's another word for the good health and well-being. It's called shalom. Good health, well-being, nothing lacking, nothing broken. Son, I'm restoring you to good health, to well-being, with nothing lacking and nothing broken. Woo! Hallelujah! That is awesome news, church. Awesome news today. Glory to God, man. That is, I'm about ready to jump up and down here. Somebody don't jump up and down, I'm going to jump up and down. Hallelujah. Amen. That is awesome news. Awesome news. Hallelujah. Isaiah 53:3. Picture of the prophetic Christ out of Isaiah. Healing of the orphan heart. He is despised and rejected by men. Number one thing of an orphan heart, rejection. God says, I came so that you no longer would have to be despised or rejected. Glory to God. Isn't that awesome? A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. I came, I experienced it, so you wouldn't have to. No more sorrows, no more grief. Andrew Womack says, the source of all what? Sin is what? Grief, depression, grief, inward. Amen. No, no, not you. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our... He did that. He carried them for you. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Look at this. Next verse. All we like sheep have gone astray. All of us like a prodigal. All of us like an orphan have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Everyone in the whole world. Everyone. Amen. Jesus died, loves everyone. Everyone. God's love transcends everything. Amen. Whoa. Y'all still with me? He was oppressed, sign of an orphan, so you don't have to be. And was afflicted, so you don't have to be. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before shears is silent. He so did not open his mouth. Next verse. He was taken from prison and from judgment. So you were too. You were taken from prison and judgment. You're not going to be judged. Because the judgment came on Jesus, so you're no longer judged. You can only try somebody one time. It's called double jeopardy if you try them for the same crime twice. You can't do it. He was tried once so you wouldn't have to be. Hallelujah. That's good news. Man, that should put you into this place of like, woo! Oh, watch out, devil. I'm gonna do some whipping up in this place, man. Hallelujah. Oh, my gosh. Wow. And he will declare his generations, for he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken. Wow. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. That's the Jesus we serve today. That's what he's done for you this morning. Amen. Stand today. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, we're going to be developing a prayer team with many of the Charis graduates. Some of you may want to be on part of that. We'd love for you to release life in people. But I want to tell you today that God has got a healing heart. He is the healer of your heart, your emotions. He loves you today. He doesn't want you walking around without having abundant life going on in your life. He wants you to have your head back, praise God, your shoulders straight, and say, man, I am a child of God. I am a friend of God. He is my Abba Daddy, praise the Lord. I'm walking in his love for me. I'm walking in his love for others, and my life is full of grace. Amen. Forgiveness. Praise God. Would you lift up your hands this morning? Hallelujah. Georgina, it's so good to see you here today. We declared life over your husband today and over you and your girls. You are loved today. Amen. Amen. You are loved. Amen. Say with me this morning, I am a child of God. I'm a son and a daughter of the Most High. My life is in Christ today, hidden in him, protected by him. I declare out of my mouth, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have authority. I've been given authority. Through me, I am victorious. Through that authority that God gave me, I am victorious. I am more than a conqueror. I walk in love. I am the healed of the Lord. I am the redeemed. I am the righteousness of God. In Christ Jesus, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise God. God is good. Amen. This morning, if you're here and you don't know him, make a decision today. I'm going to serve the Lord. Not out of a mentality of a servant, but out of a mentality of a son. Total different concept. Amen. Receive him into your heart and life. Say, thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life. That is a mind change. That is a repentant heart. Allow him to come into your life. Thank him for dying for you and raising again from the dead. I'm telling you, you're a believer. Believe he's done good things for you. And believe this, God only has good for you today. Amen. That's what he has. That's who he is. Amen. Shake hands with 10 people this morning. Find 10. I dare you. 10 people and tell them God is good. He loves you today. Amen.